This week on RSBNB Update, Archaeology is coming March 30th. We have the details on the latest teaser, live stream coverage, and the first in-game look at the Everlight dig site. Also, the sanest and most thoughtful discussion on RuneScape diversity and how to pick Cave Nightshade. This is RSBNB Update, episode 766, recorded Wednesday, February 26th, 2020. Ninja Flips and Alley Rips. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. Tannis and myself are here this week as we continue to move through Double XP Weekend Extended, the second extended Double XP Weekend since they changed format. So we got that going on, amongst other things, this week. I'm at 39 hours or so left. I don't know where you'd be at.
You're at 39 hours, Shane?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I'm around 20.
Oh. So, I mean 39 left, not used.
Yeah, I've got 20 left.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that later. But nonetheless, we do have big news to discuss this week about, of course, the Archaeology release date, which was announced as March 30th. It's not what we were expecting. We were, you know, thinking, oh, they might try and pull a fast one on us. But no, nonetheless, that's coming very quick at the end of the month. And, you know, they want to hype it up, so why not, right?
I've never been so happy to be off on a prediction.
Yeah, me
before.
Too. Me too.
Like, that was – no, it's okay.
Because, I mean, we were both predicting that it was going to be maybe next week. But, you know, we're kind of glad that it wasn't. But anyways, as we begin this episode, if you guys want full show notes, you can find that at update.rsbnb.com. You can also join us in-game at Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, and of course, if you want to chat with us in-game, I am Shane12088, and he is Tannis79. Okie dokie. So, Archaeology, March 30th. I want to talk about this first, because this is, you know, the biggest news that we have to report on. First new skill since 2016. January 2016, when Invention came out.
Such a tumultuous time.
Yeah. And
back when we were mere late 30-year-olds.
Yeah. And I mean, with that, we have to go back prior to 2013 to see Divination. So,
Divination doesn't seem like that one's been around that long.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the issue was. I really like Divination as a skill.
It was just slow, you know.
Like, I mean,
better when the Cassius came, you know.
Yeah. How can you complain about air fishing?
That's true.
So,
that's true.
In any case, Archaeology will be launching on March 30th. It is a skill that goes to level 120, but free to play can access up to level 20, which is a new thing that they've done. And, you know, just to kind of share some of the stuff that we got on this, I'm going to play the short little teaser that they put out earlier this week. For those who haven't seen it, you're listening, you'll hear it. And for those watching on the YouTube version, enjoy. It's Maude Osborne.
Oh, I did not see you there at all. But actually, maybe you can help. You see, I'm on the trail of something. Something you might have seen. Don't worry. Here it is.
That is a legit teaser, because all it says is RuneScape Archaeology, the new logo that was mentioned in the live stream. So there we have it. March 30th. We'll talk more about the rollout of this in the in the live stream, because we do have a substantial portion of the show dedicated to that live stream. But I wanted to get this date off the bat because, you know, this is what everybody's been waiting for, right? To kind of get back into that groove of setting the benchmark of what RuneScape 3 is. And oh boy, it looks amazing. So let's.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And I'll share some of that excitement after. But what I want to do now is we're going to go into the patch notes very quickly. But first, before that, the Desert Pantheon and Dwarven Instinct auras are now available in game. You get the Pantheon aura through 2,000 Desert Pantheon fragments, and you can earn 50 fragments each time you fully complete all of the objectives in a shifting tomb while having Tier 8 overall Menaphus reputation. You can then craft the aura by clicking on the fragments to transform them. So there we have it. People who wanted something.
We asked for it. We got it.
People who wanted to use for shifting tombs. There you go.
Boy, they're going to make you. We would drag you into this tomb eventually.
And that was the 2016-17 Premier Club aura.
Yeah, you kind of. It's a good aura, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense with the name. And, I mean, 50 fragments a day if you were to do that. Or no, it's not even a daily. You could do as many a day as you want. That's not too bad. Given that shifting tombs are, you know, what I'd call a content on the same level as a dungeoneering floor in terms of complexity.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's too bad. Now, the Dwarven Instinct aura, on the other hand, comes in two halves, each of which can be purchased from the Artisan's Workshop for 100% respect. Alternatively, each aura can be purchased for 2 bonds in the bond interface. I think we know which option people are going to go with here.
I mean, if they have the money. If you can afford the bonds, yeah, if you can do that, then.
Because I know there are people out there who are not going to want to touch shifting tombs.
No, but I mean, at least there is a way, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how grindy that's going to feel. So,
and this is, I think, a good thing to look at, because you remember they want to have a look at some point in the future of what a currency rework would look like for all their microtransaction-y based currencies, right? And we have always said that, okay, if we're going to have stuff that you can get through, say, the successor to Treasure Hunter, which I believe will come at some point, it's also good to have it so you can earn it through gameplay, which is what this is exactly doing.
Yeah.
So, I think these are good choices to have been made there. And, you know, these are two very interesting auras that if you didn't get the chance to have them, go for it.
For sure.
All right, patch notes. We're going to start off, of course, in the patch notes with the section that isn't ruffling people's feathers.
So, there's patch notes, ruffling feathers.
Oh, yes, there are. More ruffled feathers than a Trump rally, I think, this week in this community.
Those aren't feathers, Shane. Those are corn dogs. Elephant ears.
I like corn dogs. I was half expecting you to say, of course you would.
Well, you know.
Alrighty, so in the quality of life improvements section, and you know we'll come back to this in the live stream. But what's happening here with this is that first and foremost, the invention UI has been updated, and that's the first thing that they show us here in the picture of these patch notes. That you know we have a new invention UI that effectively allows us to filter between core invention items, skilling, combat, skilling outfit pieces. That's a good one to have filterable. Cosmetic items, augmented, melee ranged magic, and hybrid items, and miscellaneous support items. So, and you know, one reason they definitely need to do this is because there's so many in there. And when archaeology comes out, we're getting ancient invention, so there'll just be even more in that UI. So that was a change that was needed. The skills necklace has also been updated to include teleports to the invention, runecrafting, and farming guilds. And what this means for people who really wanted it, you can now have a direct teleport to the Anachronia Ranch out of time with the skills necklace.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, the skills necklace is something that I think is kind of glossed over in the higher end game meta for skillers, because if you're doing a gathering skill, what are you going to be wearing around your neck? Grace of the Elves, right? So.
Right, but if you're doing teleports, though, that Passage of the Abyss is pretty useful, so I wonder if you can slap this on there.
I don't see why you wouldn't be able to.
Right, and even if you couldn't do that, you could compact it, so, I mean, yeah. Good change.
Yeah, big one. Passage of the Abyss. I just want to get a list here of what can actually go into this thing again. Glories, dig sites, skilling necklaces can. So there you go.
Nice, yeah.
So that works. Next up on the patch note list, the You Have Been Poison message can now be filtered when you're fighting Grigorovic. The Hellwear's continued attacks cause you to lose even more blood message can be filtered. The Collect All 2 buttons on the collection box interface have been switched around to match the orderings on the Grand Exchange interface. And, you know, this might seem like a minor tweak, but this is a huge deal for, you know, what we, I guess you could call good interaction design. Because when you do something like this, you want it to be consistent across the entire game. And that's what this does. The Ancient Seed has been added to the Herbie Werby reward shop so that when planted using the inventory option, the Ancient Seed will teleport you directly to Herbie Werby on Anachronia. That's very nice. Herbie Werby teleport. Why the sigh?
Is there a Herbie Werby comp rec or something like that?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, that's...
It's just free Herbalore XP.
But it's like 25, 30k, isn't it?
No, but it goes up as your Herbalore level goes up now. When 120 Herbalore came up. I think it gives something like 3 or 4 times XP when you're 117 or something to that effect of what it would before.
Okay.
I'm probably wrong on the numbers and levels, but nonetheless, it does go up. You can check the skill guide to get the exact numbering on that. Faction seals in God Wars Dungeon 2 will no longer drop from bosses if you have reached the max reputation for the other factions. The Invention Make-X interface has been given TLC, which we already talked about. In addition to this, items are now ordered by invention level where appropriate, except for the core invention items category. This was an exception to ensure that similar types of items stayed next to each other on the list and that familiarity was not lost. Augmented combat equipment has also been reordered, starting with the body and then the legs. It's also sorted by tier. Then we go to the Tower of Life for the Tower of Life altars, because they can now unnote the first ingredient of a creature's recipe by using the noted item on the altar or by right-clicking or long-pressing the altar. This will unnote one item at a time. It will not work with the sword chick altar, as the sword chick does not drop noted raw swordfish. Finally, if you ever want to go back to Tardiad, which I doubt you do, by 1, 5, 10, all and X options have been added to Angoff's crystal armor shop on Tardiad.
Oh, because you're definitely buying more than one.
Boy, you had a fun time with that, didn't you? Building that elven ghillie suit.
Never again. It was worth, but never again. I mean, the memes. It was worth.
Yeah. Okay. Now we get to the diversity improvements section here, which I'll note, if you're scrolling through the patch notes, you see two gnome cheerleaders dressed in pink with skirts. And the headline for this says that we're holding up our hands on this one. In the past, we could have done a better job of fostering diversity in-game. But as they say, the best time to get started is now. And so today, we've made the following small changes to help RuneScape be a happier and more inclusive place. Oh boy, and you would think that the world ended with this one.
Yeah, you would have. I don't know, dude.
All right, let's go through these one at a time.
Let's go through it, because I'm of two minds.
Me
on
too.
This.
Me too. The word gypsy has been removed from Eris's name, of course, in Varrock, and examined text of as this word could be interpreted as a racial slur. But Eris, formerly known as Gypsy Eris, is a fortune teller, and the back meaning for the word gypsy comes from Eastern Europe, specifically Romania, where women would tell fortunes. And, you know, they're effectively halfway to Western witches in that regard, but they were mainly fortune tellers who were kind of seen as a little bit on the crazy side. That's what a gypsy is and what Eris was built as in-game, right? But on the other hand, the word gypsy, and in particular gyp, is slang term for someone from Egypt. And that's potentially what this could be interpreted as for the racial slur for anybody wondering on this. And, you know, I think if we would be on YouTube with this, we'd probably be demonetized for this.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that that's not a racial slur for the the Eastern Europeans either. Or for the Romani people.
Okay. I've mainly heard it be used for the Egyptians.
Yeah, I'd never heard that until you mentioned it. I'd always heard it in regards to...
Yeah, and of course, there's also the saying, someone just got gypped, means they were ripped off, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. That's true.
That's one. And, you know, it could come from Romania, Eastern Europe, or it could come from Egypt on that. And, you know... The two minds that you mentioned is, you know, all in play with this because this character has been in game for years. The person is a fortune teller. And the way I look at this is that we don't lose any of the essence of what she does in game by just changing her name to Eris. Because if you talk to her in the quest that she's involved in, or if you talk to her in her dialogue, or if you look at her new exam and it says that she's a fortune teller now.
Yeah, well, that's better.
Yeah,
right. That's a better description. I'm of two minds on the community's reaction.
Yeah, well, let's go through the other ones first, and we'll get there eventually. Now, the next one is that various NPCs in Karamja have been given more appropriate titles, and you know, this one, I think people need to take a look back if they're definitely being concerned about this one, because we had Jungle Savages previously, and those have been renamed to Jungle Dwellers.
That's not a good one.
Also, Tribesmen have been renamed to Wandering Warriors.
Yeah.
I think the Savage is perhaps the worst one of the two. I don't necessarily see Tribesmen as a negative. Do you?
It could be. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And thanks, Shane. Like, I mean, this is a UK company who is famous. You know, the UK, that's like, they're probably the most famous imperialist there are. So,
right. Especially when it comes to the ownership of Africa and whatnot. And India.
It's not a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense. Now, here's the big one. Various NPCs in the Caridian Desert have had their name changed from Ali to better reflect the diverse variety of names we see in real life. And this is where the community hit the roof on this one. Because, of course, what we're talking about here is Ali Morrisane, Ali whatever, all the different Allies. You know, Drunken Ali was one as well. All of these different alleys in game have been changed. And this is, you know, my one real complaint about this one. And, you know, Mod Osborne addressed this in comments that he made on the RuneScape subreddit, which went to absolute trash this week. And, you know, congratulations to everybody out there. You really put yourself on display for what the RuneScape subreddit is. You really did that. We thought that was limited purely to old school. But no, it exists in RS3 as well. And my only concern about this is that, you know, the feud came out in 2005 as a quest. I haven't played the quest since it came out, so I can't tell you if it makes sense or not. I can't. And Mott Osborne made the point that if the quest doesn't make sense now, there definitely should have been work put in to make sure that the name changes made this week would make the quest, indeed, continue to make sense. And, you know, this is the part where I just completely had to shake my head at the community. And this was best exemplified in a tweet from Diana and picked up by Mod Jack, I believe. It's amazing how many lore experts came out of the closet this week about this one quest. But on the other hand, I did think it was rather amusing to see all the various folks in the desert running around named Ali. I absolutely love that. I mean, if there was a town of Shanes in RuneScape, I would absolutely enjoy that. So, my sense
there
on
is
this.
A town of Shane. It's called Canada. Like, that's.
But they're not all named that.
But. You know, Shane. Come on now.
But the point I'm getting to on this is that, one, if the quest doesn't make sense, there definitely should have been work done to make sure it does. I'm not going to say whether it makes sense or not, or whether this is a game-breaking change, because I did the quest in 2005, and quite frankly, I do not remember. If it continues to make sense after this, great. If it doesn't, that should be fixed. Point number two, let's get a bottle quest out there that puts a number of NPCs named the same thing in some small town, maybe Sears Village or maybe Yanil, or just pick your favorite little small town. Make a bottle quest that has a number of NPCs named the same name or even in the same region and build a bottle quest around them. And you get the same kind of little humorous trip that you had with the feud. Simple. Simple fix to that. And, you know, we've been saying, let's add more bottle quests. So there's another example for it.
Oh, you can do it in Remington because those people talk like they're rednecks anyway, so they're all, probably all related. So I mean,
okay, let's not move from insulting the Middle East to insulting the South of the United States.
No, it's okay if you're American.
No, do not insult my friends from the South.
Oh, Shane, it's okay. I live there.
You don't live in the South.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Which state?
North Carolina.
Oh, that's not... Okay. All right.
The South, bud.
Okay. All right. Anyways,
I've been called a Yankee. That's South.
I need to check my authoritative source if North Carolina is part of the South. But anyways, this change really is one that was made because, you know, you consider the time at which this quest would have been developed, 2005, was when the Iraq War was going on and the Middle East was in front of everyone's mind. And that likely had some role in it. I don't know what was happening behind the scenes or what the process was, but when this area around the desert was being created, that would have been front of mind for many people, especially in the UK, because they were part of the Coalition of the Willing. So,
right, but I mean, that doesn't make, you know, that doesn't make, like, racism okay.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, and see, that's the thing. It's a different time than it was 15 years ago on this note.
Well, right, it would be the equivalent of today, like, in today, and this probably only really count in America, but like in America today, if that quest were to come out, Gygax was an American company, and you had sombreros on them, and everyone's name was Jose, that would be obviously racist. Right? I mean, there is, we're not having this discussion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the last one, dialogue in the Kindred Spirits quest has been altered to remove an unintended offense. And what this was, and this was, I think, put in by Maud Raven when talking with Sliske in the quest, and I remember our discussion on this, he says, I identify as a Scaly. That was changed to I am a Scaly. And this was about the time this quest would have came out in 2015 when the attack helicopter meme was in.
Attack helicopter.
You identify as an attack helicopter?
I didn't know that one.
Oh,
I
mean, really?
You got past me somehow, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I identify as an attack helicopter was a meme that first appeared in 2014, later appeared in TF2, but continued to spread through 2014, 2015. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know any. I don't know. I mean, if someone takes offense to it, then so be it, I suppose. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but of course it wouldn't, because I'm, you know, I can't identify that way, I guess. I don't,
right.
That's a bad choice of words, but I don't know how else to say it.
Now, here's the other way of looking at it, and, you know, this is what I think everybody in the wider community is missing on this. As a company that is in a position to have a platform, that's what the game of RuneScape is. It's a platform to, you know, we don't like to admit this, but it's so true that whenever you have a platform, whether it be a game or a podcast, it is a way for you to project your company values or the values of your organization out there. And that's something that many companies have begun to do. And, you know, I will say that everybody is free to choose to support with their money, whether or not they like a company that does that. It's entirely true for you, or you're entirely allowed to make that decision on your own about supporting what a company does. So that's point number one. And point number two, in terms of Jagex doing this, is that one, moving through all of these points, Gypsy Heiress, I mean, how often do you have to deal with her? You don't deal with her on a day-to-day basis in RS.
Quest, and then they're in the beginning.
Right. How often do you go to Karamja and worry about the jungle savages or tribesmen? Never.
Yeah.
How often do you go see all the alleys in the desert? And how often do you do Kindred Spirits? Once. So the point I'm trying to make with this is that these changes don't hurt anyone. Everybody who is claiming to be hurt this week is making that decision to effectively bandwagon and follow a cause that was started by someone somewhere on the internet. The general outlook of Jagex from a company and the way they most definitely see this, I don't know if this is how it is, but I say with a 90% certainty that this is how they see it. If they can make the experience of one person or a handful of people better when they're playing RuneScape, that's something that they're going to do. And the cost for that, as seen in this, is relatively low because, as we just mentioned, all of these four various points here, you're not going to go back and play them as a player who's already passed through that content. So it really harms no one.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the way to look at it. And that's the way Jagex definitely looks at it on this regard. And, you know, you can say that, oh, we're pushing this agenda and they're pushing this agenda to, you know, effectively be, I don't want to use this word, and I don't know if it's the right word, so I'm not going to use it, but they could be seen as being politically correct because that's just the end thing to do on this. But I think it's far more likely the way I described it instead. than just doing it for the hell of it.
Or, I don't know, maybe they could be promoting that awful, mean, horrible agenda of don't be a dick. It's that simple.
Yeah, it really just is.
Try not to be try not to be a dick. Like, I mean, people, when you said people feel like they're hurt, I don't get that. Because you've lost nothing. I mean, if we're going to have a conversation about something about the game, okay. But this...
Right, as in whether or not the quest makes sense after the fact. And we're not having that conversation here because I don't remember doing the quest. And I have no way of knowing if it is, if it doesn't make sense today.
And that's not what is circulating. That might be some people's cover stories. That's not the issue. If the quest makes sense, that's not the issue. I mean, this to me...
And that's why we said, oh, there's so many more lore experts coming out of the closet this week.
Yeah. See, this is where the two minds come in for me, because I feel like I so hope it's just shitposting. Like, I want to say the majority has to just be shitposting. People are just doing it to get a rise out of people, or, you know, just, I don't know. Because I really don't want to believe that there's that many bigoted people, especially on a week that we just saw the generosity of our communities.
Yeah.
You know, at large.
Yeah.
That just...
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to compute there. Like, it...
Yeah.
I don't know. Being nice to someone else doesn't hurt you in any way.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think we should take a lesson out of the Star Trek universe for how this stuff's supposed to work, as in, you know, just having this stuff pass by. Because if you look at the Star Trek series, whether it be the original series or the modern incarnations, the diversity that Jagex is talking about is just there, and it's not forced, and it's just natural. And that's the way to do it. And that's what I think this accomplishes, and just removes those few points that will make the game more acceptable to that small handful of people out there who would be affected by this. And that's why this decision was made more than anything, I feel. No.
Right. And look, I hope they go further and they look at, you know, some of this content that we're not going to see because we've been through it all. But, you know, now that we're a different society and we're better for a lot of the Me Too stuff, we should look through and see if there's things that should be changed with some of those quests as well.
Yeah. And you know,
to mind, but,
nothing jumps to mind.
This is the first time, like, look at this happened back with the miscellanea quest, right?
Yeah.
You know, and people threw a shit fit over that. It's like, why?
Yeah. And, you know, I'd like to see this go one step further and see if they truly mean it and make these changes to old school as well.
Oh, God. I mean, look at the reaction here.
Hey, if the company means it, do it.
No, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, if you think – I mean, this reaction was – it's tame. Pretty appalling. So.
Tame. Tame but appalling.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I
don't think I have anything else left to say on that. And, you know, I don't come to do these podcasts to have these discussions on this because I have another podcast where I can have these kind of discussions on this about people. And that's not what we do on the RuneScape podcast. So I'll just say for anybody out there who, you know, truly feels that this is a problem for you, I'll just say, you know, go volunteer for your favorite political candidate who can champion those views like that and see how that goes applied in real life rather than on the internet.
Did you just tell people to go be Trump supporters?
Or Sanders supporters if they want.
Okay.
I'm just saying don't waste the energy on the internet.
Yes, no, you're exactly. I couldn't agree with you more in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, changes have been made to the 120 farming and 120 herb lore. There are still patch notes coming in about this. So you can now gain farming reputation from harvesting Calquits, which was missing for some reason. So that's good. Messaging is now displayed telling the players why using growth potions or patch bombs on money trees that fell at the manor farm will not work. Salamanders have received a nudge of encouragement from prehistoric Potterington and will breed at faster rates. Flies are now stackable, which means you can feed your frogs easier if you want, and you can buy them from the summoning store in a stack. They did decrease the stock with that, though.
Okay.
Players can now reliably decant potions without opening a crafting menu. Players can now fill up plant pots from the Bloodwood Tree and Money Tree patch at the Manor Farm. Did you know that you can fill up empty plant pots with dirt by using them on any farming patch?
Yeah, that's how you do the saplings, right? That's how you plant.
Yeah, you put them in there.
Yeah.
Now, this is the biggest patch note of the year, probably. Well, maybe of the month, but possibly the year on this. Cave Nightshade is now far less frustrating to harvest from inside the scavenged caves, and players will now find more spots to harvest them from and will receive token farming XP for doing so. You still need to wear gloves in order to avoid getting poisoned, and the Cave Nightshade will now also work with the sign of the porter. So,
but yeah, I need to know why, Shane.
Yeah, you're wondering what exactly is all this, right?
Yeah, I want to know why. Well, why is this so good?
If you go talk to the ogres on the platform at Gutanoth, which is just south of Yanil, you can get something called a scavenged map. And then when you do that, you can go into the cave network below Gutanoth, and there will be various places out there where you can pick up Cave Nightshade from inside these caves. And you're wondering, why do I want to do this? Well, the reason you want to do this is because if you look at the herb lore skilling guide, which, you know, when you think about it, this is something that really should have been done a long time ago. But if you look at the herb lore skilling guide and you go down and you find the, let's just say the weapon poison plus potion at level 82, you need coconut milk, nightshade, and poison ivy berries. Well, previously, you can get nightshade by planting those belladonna seeds in the patch by drainer. But what you can also do previously is you would just go in here with a familiar into this cave network and collect nightshade en masse, which, you know, is doable in its own right, but they would spawn slower and they had a smaller number of them available and they didn't work with Sign of the Porter. So now you can just go into this cave and start harvesting cave nightshade. And the reason it's the patch note of the month or maybe the year for me is because prior to this, you would only really make weapon poison if you wanted to make weapon poison. It wouldn't be a viable training method. Whereas now, all you need to do is take your Grace of the Elves or your stack of porters, use them, and then you can automatically have all the cave nightshade that you want sent back to your bank. And you don't need to worry about, you know, leaving that area or using a familiar timer. So.
But Shane, what about the market? Is it tradable?
It is definitely tradable.
But what about the market?
The market needed this because there was...
Won't that devalue it?
No, because there were so few ways of getting it that it was something that wasn't even used at all.
So you think this will make people use
weapon poison? I think this will make people train with weapon poison.
Okay. Well, the good PVMers know. I mean, they all use it when they're...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, every little bit of DPS that you can get on this helps, right? And see, the good part about this is that, you know, this is at level 82, so it's one level right after your Ceridoan brews. And it uses poison ivy berries, which themselves are pretty cheap. And you can, of course, farm with the farming skill. Then, if you step all the way up to level 100, you get weapon poison plus, which is your weapon poison plus with poison slime and primal extract. So this gives you a way of training that, you know, right now, if you look at the market value for these cave nightshades, should probably be cheaper than other potions. And I mean, if you wanted to, you know, spend a, you know, maybe even just an hour collecting these using porters, just imagine the amount of potions that you can make with this. So this is all in all a good update for people who want to train on their own, or, you know, dare I say it, this is even a good Iron Man update.
If you filled up your Grayscale, that's 500 a pop.
Exactly. And, I mean, you don't need to use any spells. It's not like harvesting the mushrooms in the swamp. You know, the mushrooms that you would use.
The Mortmires, yeah.
Yeah, the Mortmire mushrooms. It's not like harvesting those. You don't need prayer points. It's 100% safe. You just need to have done that one quest, which I think most people who can access that area will have done.
I would imagine.
So, all in all, you know, very good change for the farming and herb lore ecosystem, especially for Iron Man characters. So, all right, moving on. A sell-all option has been added to Baby Shakes.
They got to change that name while they're at it.
You know,
while they're on these different things.
You know, that might be something to look at.
Watch, I'd be another mod Ravens and be like, damn it, Raven.
Oh.
Not again.
Oh. You can't sell Cave Nightshade on the exchange. So that's even a bigger problem that it fixed.
So this is a bigger, this is a more of a QOL fix.
And the ability to be able to even, you know, make these potions easily, right?
Right, yeah.
Because, you know, you're just relying on other people at that point. And, you know, I thought they were tradable, but I guess that was the elk value I was seeing. Let me just have a look at that and make sure that was the right icon I was seeing there. Which would, I mean, see, in that one little run there, I already have 31 of them in my bank. Yeah, that was elk value. And you make some weapon poisons from that, and that's money in the bank. All right. Other patches this week, the mining and stamina bar is now on by default for players that have a mining level of 15 or greater. You can turn it off by going to your gameplay settings, skills, and mining option.
Okay. Yep, probably need that now.
No, you don't. Because you fall down to 90% if you're mining between 1 and 99% stamina. Only at 0 you don't. And I guess maybe the decision was made that the stamina bar is better than using the visual and audio cue. Because remember, the sound of the rock changes if you have no stamina, and there's no sparks coming off it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Probably. It's a nice touch for me, but it's not enough for the average person.
Oh, you mean the little cues and the sparks and stuff? Okay.
Yeah.
Lady Deathknell has closed down the Combat Academy and the Lumbridge Market, has noticed the free real estate and moved in. The nearby bank chest remains intact, and some of the combat training dummies have been moved to the Berthorpe training camp. So Combat Academy is gone from Lumbridge, and the early start combat was, of course, relocated to Berthorpe, which makes sense because you don't really need it in three locations. And it makes sense to have it in Berthorpe because Berthorpe is where you learn about Slayer.
It's so weird, though. I mean, I wonder what happened to the portable place where we set up portables.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, you know, when you arrive from Tutorial Island, you land in Lumbridge, and then you get directed to Berthorpe, and that's where you learn about Slayer and combat and whatnot. So that's why it makes sense to have it there. Then at past level 60, you have all the combat dummies at the PVM hub. So you can see why the decision was made here on this. And I don't know. I saw Twitter, and this one also looks to be a little bit controversial this week.
Probably because of portables. I mean, why else?
Yeah, I mean, I guess people are just resistant to change.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but... Who moved my cheese, Shane? You ever read that?
No, what's that about?
Oh, that's a good one, man. It's a good one.
What is it about?
It's a book. What? It's about change management, how people are.
And, oh.
And it's called Who Moved My Cheese, which is like a reference to a study about rats and how they work through a maze.
You know, that'd be very interesting
cheese,
to apply to our ass.
Like, freak out.
That would be very interesting to apply to RS.
Yeah, and you can kind of like categorize different, like, you know, people and the way they reacted, like kind of how the rats reacted, like whether they just sit there and just wait for the cheese, or would they go like looking around for it, or like, yeah, it's classic, man. It's like a business thing.
Yeah. And, you know, this leads us into the next section of the patch note, which is bug fixes. So you'll see that they had the 120 farming and herblore stuff, which was its own category, the diversity stuff, and also the quality of life improvements, which falls to Ninja Team, which was talked about in the live stream, which we'll get to. But then we have just general bug fixes, and some of these are activated auras are no longer sent to the inventory when the player is killed in PvP zones. Incense buffs are no longer removed when leaving the fight kiln. Fixed an issue in which the content of an ore box was being deposited into a player's inventory if the box had previously been placed into a full bank upon death.
What?
That's
pretty obscure.
That's really weird. When trying to equip a comp cape from the bank without the requirements, the cape will no longer visually remain in the back slot of your character. Restored the full reclaim functionality for Sentinel and Trapper outfits to the Diango storage system. A bug has been fixed that was causing an issue with some people's player-owned house. If you are affected by this issue, you can visit your designated portal to remove the rooms and have the extra materials refunded. Wonder what the bug was. All right. And finally, a bug that was causing players to lose ownership of their cannon if another player logs out with an active cannon has been fixed. There might still be the odd occurrence here or there, so be sure to use the feedback form linked above if you still encounter this issue. Okay. All right. There's our patch notes for the week.
First Ninja Strike.
Yeah, and I have a problem with them calling it a Ninja Strike. I'll say why after on that note. But, you know, there's actually something that's starting to make a bit of sense, I think, with these patch notes after seeing how the Ninja Team factored in. It's that the patch notes are being split up into quality of life changes, which are, for the lack of a better term, going to be ninja fixes. Fixes to areas of content that have a focus right now, like 120 herblore and farming. And then the diversity changes, of course, mobile. And then just bug fixes is the general grab bag for fixes that aren't going to have a huge impact game-wide but are still annoying to the everyday player. And that's the structure that now makes sense after seeing the live stream this week. But there's one more
thing.
The
diversity for mobile? It's tied to
no,
mobile.
No. I don't think that. I was just rattling off the list one after the other the different categories. So, but they did do something else this week. They put out a 30-second video on Twitter showcasing all the different patch notes, all the various key aspects of it. Invention, flies, and they show a little bit of how this works in each one. Diango's skilling outfits, more teleports on the skills necklace, showing the various places it can teleport to, Combat Academy closed down, and then a link saying where you can get the patch notes, rs.game/patch notes, which is on its own a new thing as well. And, you know, this is kind of what happened, I guess, was the evolution of Mod Lee's videos, perhaps. Was that short little 30-second Twitter blob. So. All right.
I like that, though.
Yeah. Should we move on to the live stream now? What everybody has, of course, been waiting for. We already talked about the archaeology release date, so we won't put too much focus on that. Instead, we'll talk a bit about what was mentioned in the live stream about the history of archaeology and where they're at right now. So the design for this started in June of 2018, and they started in development in September and October of 2018. And it was described on the tin by Maud Osborne as archaeology will be the skill that showcases the joy of uncovering new elements as a player, also finding and exploring new unexplored areas, as well as, of course, delving into the God Wars dungeon and finding powerful and ancient artifacts. Now,
I wonder if we'll get God Wars Dungeon 3.
Right. Well, that's the thing that they really wanted to, I guess, highlight in the RuneFest keynote, was that, you know, they could do something like that, and we'll just have to wait and see if it actually arrives or, you know, stays on the roadmap. If that
you gotta
position.
Get 120 archaeology, dude, to unlock.
Well, that'd be pretty funny.
The boss. It would be funny. I would love it.
I mean, we're not saying that should happen, and I don't think that will happen, because that's where they're moved from, you know, in this day and age.
But it would be funny.
Archaeology has lore that's ramped up by a magnitude of 10 compared to dungeoneering, and each dig site is its own mystery to solve and will be representative of a god. There's going to be 25 to 30 relics available. That's what we saw. Preview of some of them at RuneFest. Some of the ones we saw at RuneFest have been removed, and some have been added because they weren't powerful enough or were too powerful. And, you know, this is the key point I wanted to highlight and hit home on this, is that this is this mechanic that we absolutely loved when we heard about it at RuneFest, is that you can only have so many active at a specific time. So you're going to have to pick and choose which ones are going to be active. You can't have them all active at the same time. So that's going to be real fun to see. Then there was a bit of a brief rundown on the various dig sites, the 5 different dig sites that are available. There's Karid Et, which is the first one, which is the Zorosian fortress that fell at the end of the Second Age. The Infernal Source, which will be underneath the Jolly Boar Inn. This will be about cults, hells, the Ring of Hell, and demons. So that's obviously the Zamorak featured one. Everlight is Icene themed, which is their base of operations off the coast of Mauritania in the God Wars, which is what everybody has been waiting to see, more Icene lore. Then we have the Stormguard Citadel, which will be up in the sky, of course, which was Armadil's fortress. This is where you'll learn about ancient invention. Then there's the Warforge, which is the Bandosian side, where Bandos held his armies, and this, you have the Great Crucible as well. So those are the 5 dig sites labeled down on the top, and we only heard about 3 of them at RuneFest, but now all of them have been revealed, and we're going to get the extra lore journal on the last one this week, on Friday, I assume. And
yeah. I'm a little worried about something you said.
What's that?
About uncovering the mystery. You don't think there's going to be a puzzle element in that skill, do you? Come on. Don't give me a puzzle.
Maybe some kind of small one. Like, I wouldn't expect that, you know, you'd get told, hey, go, you know, solve something that's the level of a clue scroll. I don't think they'd do that.
Because I like my skills straightforward.
Yeah, and I mean, if anything, I think it might be kind of like a Dungeoneering kind of puzzle, the odd one, if there is to be something like that, that kind of complexity.
Some of those things are a real pain in the...
Yeah, and you know, right now we're just speculating, so we have no idea if this is going to be the case.
Yeah.
They were asked about progression. It's technically a gathering skill, of course. It works with Grace of the Elves. And there's also, of course, production and meta elements to it. And it doesn't have a closed economy. 95% of what's in the skill is tradable. And there's no correct linear way to train it. And they said it's more like a spider's web. And they expect it'll take a long time for people to learn the most optimal way of leveling this thing up.
They always say that. Someone will have that shit in like 6 hours.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, as it comes into like the way of training, they'll work out the best way to train fairly early, I think.
There's going to be a first wave, and then there's going to be a second wave later on, I think.
Yeah.
And the question about Iron Man was asked. They said, yeah, this is probably going to be a little bit rougher around the edges for Iron Man because you're not going to be able to trade. So you're going to have to, of course, source everything yourself. And they said, but that's the idea of Iron Man.
Yeah. I don't think they would. I don't think Iron Man players would want it any other way, really. Yeah. I mean, they don't want it to be like it's all about the way it turns out because no one foresaw the shortage of components when the smithing rework came in. So, like, are you talking something on that level or something that's just, you know, more Iron Man-like where you've got to grow your own herbs, make your own potion type?
I think it's going to be the latter.
Right. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah. The question about what did they do with their extra longevity testing? And what did that involve in? And, you know, better environment art, more polish around the edges. They think it's going to be better than Anachronia. And they said instead of waiting 3 months for players to play the content, you can expect the type of ninja fixes that you would see in the first month or couple months to already be in there. And the bigger quality of life things that they would have had to iterate on are already implemented in the skill. That's good to hear. And that's exactly, I think, the level that we want to have and have the level of quality cemented in with this skill. And I think it'll be worth the wait.
Didn't it kind of make you think, though, like say to yourself, like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
This is what we've been
This is what
about.
People have been saying forever, you know? That there shouldn't need to be an update and then have a series of crucial, you know, quality of life fixes for it as it comes out. So, and, you know, Mod Warden, as always, is right on point in these live streams.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think JD is leading the thing, and then he just steps in with his own unique perspective on this. And, you know, he said in addition to this, it has given a little bit more time to look at how the brand of RuneScape is built up as a whole. They have a brand new logo that fits in with the theme of what's being made here. And they also are using this to try and figure out how to talk about RuneScape a little bit differently. So that means how to get this information out, how much to reveal, when to reveal it, which is kind of what we're seeing because this all is very different. We've never seen anything really like this before.
No, I mean, at the risk of beginning to sound like a Mod Warden fanboy, it seems like this is all the fine-tuning we've kind of been hoping for. But no one's talked about it like in these terms before. No one has delayed an update like this in order to do this long-term testing. I mean, these things just haven't – we're not used to them. So, it feels like they're really dialing down, and especially with, you know, we talked about at the roundtable, we saw some ads, like their targeting seems to be really good.
Yeah, you got to wonder what the archaeology ones are going to look like.
Right, yeah.
And then they had a bit of a preview of one of the dig sites, Everlight. Now, with this, you can just have a look at this. And, you know, it's absolutely stunning to see the level of visuals that they brought in with this. And I'm just gonna try and get this right for people who are watching the video version, because I loaded Twitch up and it gave me 360p, which is something I don't want to show this off in, because it doesn't convey the full breadth of it. So hopefully we'll move from 360 to 1080 on this here, but it is absolutely stunning. There we go. It's in. What did you think of this when we saw this?
It was pretty cool. I was thinking, wow, that edition of that free the game, that was really nice.
Edition of what?
It was the free cam, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're just moving around and looking. Yeah.
And we can already do this in game. I just think we have a bit of a different range on it, perhaps, than they had here. But you can already access this free cam mode just by right clicking. I think it's either the world map or the compass or something to that effect. And control it with an Xbox controller like Mod Timbo was doing. And I don't know if people know that. If you hook up a Xbox controller to your PC, your Windows PC, you can control the RuneScape free camera with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that would make... Oh.
That's how you get it to be so smooth.
Yeah, that's what I was... Because it is herky-jerky if you don't.
Yeah.
All right. That's awesome. Ooh, we're going to try that.
That's what I do for our video here on the show, if we're doing a bit or something like that, or a bite.
Yeah.
But anyways, Everlight, the Icene area off the coast of Mauritania, your goal of this entire area is to figure out how to get to the top of Everlight and claim it for yourself. And in doing so, you'll, of course, uncover all the lore and the history around the Icene with this. And, you know, they showcase the level of environment art around it. And, you know, it is Anachronia level on there. And there's actually... in one of the parts, there's a tortoise that's swimming in the water. That's the kind of extra polish on the environment art that they were talking about with this. Just that, you know, taking it to the next level. And, you know, people are going to say this might not look like RuneScape, but oh boy, this is, I guess, what modern RuneScape looks like.
Well, yeah, I don't know. If you say that it doesn't look like RuneScape, then... That tells me that you're more partial to like old school, then, right? I mean,
I mean, on the video, Timbo even took us into one of the tents. So, really, really amazing. And I'm just letting the video play here in the background for those watching on the YouTube version. But, there's what effectively looks like, I don't know, like maybe like falling stars coming off of the Everlight Temple. Lots of unique stonework, new tree models here and there. There's an amphitheater that's partially covered up with dirt. That's definitely going to play a role in it. And you can all tell that this was a very prominent, bustling society around here at one point in the history. And it's all... gone away, and what the lore associated with this is going to be absolutely astounding, because you see some Ceridoman symbols along the way and whatnot. So these are, of course, the most devout of devout Ceridoman followers. Then, just to show the level of artistic work here, you can even go underwater with the free camera view and see, you know, all the various pillars and whatnot. Fish swimming around, too.
Whoa. Huh.
Yeah. It's all modeled. All modeled.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Saw a monkfish.
That's cool.
Then get to the top, and there's the character standing at the top, one of the JMod characters, and that's where they're using this as the point of origin from. But absolutely astounding. Absolutely astounding. For those of you guys watching on YouTube, you'll see that. And if you aren't, I'd recommend you go have a look at the YouTube version of this episode, just if you want to get a bit of a sneak preview of what that looks like. So, amazing. And that's all we got for archaeology this week. It's going to be a brand new series of videos starting on March 6th called The Road to Archaeology, which will, of course... put a showcase on the skill and talk about its various elements. So that's, of course, what we expected to kind of introduce people to how it's going to work. And to piggyback off of what they did with mining and smithing, there are now NPCs in-game that say, have you heard about archaeology at the Lodestones?
Oh, such fond memories. Have you heard, Shane?
Yes, I have. And I imagine we're going to be hearing a whole lot more about it. All right. Let's move on to the quality of life portion of the live stream. And this is where they unveiled the brand new ninja team. And what they want to do with this is effectively have the ninja team focus on quality of life updates and the quality of life mission within RuneScape. And when Mod Warden came in, he elevated the role of the quality of life stuff within the dev team. So that's what we're seeing here as a result of it. The new ninja team includes mods Kalia, Timbo, Aerator, Breezy, Abe, and Carrie. Carrie on the CM side. And the ninja team's primary goal is to take on the quality of life mission in RuneScape. What they are going to do is they're going to nail down sticking points in the game, drive improvements, work with existing content to make it better to play, address viral topics, address valuable concerns encountered by only a few players. And that's kind of like what we talked about last time Mod Warden was on the stream with that bug fix that they got in one night based on an email and had it out within a week. So that's the kind of thing that this quality of life team will strive to fix. They also want to work with players to identify the best places for ninjas to strike, plan out regular strikes on a variety of content, speed, and address this faster, and carry out the RuneScape quality of life mention, as I think we've mentioned around three or four times now on this. And that was a very key aspect of this. What they will not do is they will not create new content, change everything about a piece of content that's in game, or fix bugs. So it's primarily focused all on quality of life. And they're saying the first strike was the quality of life changes from the patch notes, including the invention interface. Now, personally, while I can see why they're saying it's like the ninja team is carrying out a coordinated strike, like a ninja team going to effectively go in and attack this area in a ninja strike. If you start calling these things strikes in-game, you're opening yourself up for a piece of negative connotation or negative context. Because what is one thing that happens in the real world that people do not like? Strikes. Whether it be strikes on the train, strikes in your strikes for your teachers, or strikes for your nurses, or strikes in any form of public labor, it happens and it causes disruptions. And because of that, I don't think it's a good idea to be calling these strikes. How do you feel about that?
I would have never made that. I would have never connected that because I don't
like it's not a problem right now. But if we don't hear from these guys for about a month or they don't put something out every other week, this could become a prevailing factor. The ninjas are on strike.
Right. I so I see the joke. I mean, I don't
– like you see a ninja strike, but you could potentially see this changing into something where it becomes the joke that the ninjas are on strike.
No, I mean, I see this – yeah, this is the meme of like it's been –
it's been
X
3 weeks
of days since the last J-Mod left or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I see it on that level, but like, I don't, you know, I don't have the same, like I said, I don't have the same opinion of a strike. I got solidarity with the strikers, man.
All right. But
workers of the world unite.
But the thing is that I don't think it should be something that could be at all construed as negative.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, they come up with something other than strike, like a focus, or I mean, they're just trying to do something
catchy,
themed, you know? Something. But like a ninja. I don't know, man. There's got to be a million things you'd come up with, ninja.
Dash.
There we go.
Because inside, And you heard them mention this, that they only got a couple more sprints left in the run-up to archaeology. And the way that the dev system works there is that they operate on sprints, which are around, 14 days or so. And that's at the end of that, you evaluate where you are and where you're going to work after that. A dash is a lot quicker than a sprint. So maybe something like a ninja dash or something. I don't know. But that's what I took out of it from a marketing and communication side on this. That's something I would have probably considered differently. Like I mentioned, it's not going to be a problem right now. But if these guys disappear, or we don't hear from them for, a month at a time or so on, then that would be something that would start to be concerned, because they said there is no set frequency for these ninja strikes.
I'm thinking they're going to be pretty frequent, but what about a ninja flip?
Oh, that would be one.
Like you're flipping a piece of content. You're flipping it out.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All
right.
Yeah, that plus that's visual. That's visual. Very good. Yeah. A ninja flip. Yeah. And I mean, I think everybody's seen those programs where they flip a house, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. Ninja flips. I like that. And, there will be broad, narrow, and theme strikes. So broad, of course, meaning that they'll hit lots of things in relation to a certain type of content. Narrow would be what we were talking about with the construction-y kind of thing about that one bug. And then theme strikes, which would, of course, be invention-related this week. They also have the Ninja Dojo, as it's called. You submit challenges to the ninja. An ideal challenge will be concise, focused, realistic, achievable, and meaningful. Not all challenges will be accepted, but each will be reviewed. You can submit yours at rs.game/ninja. And what this is basically a survey that allows you to send in your own area where you would suggest a ninja fix. So there we have it.
The Ninja Dojo was created in a zombie rune lab.
Ooh.
only to live again. It's the Ninja Dojo. It won't die, Shane.
Oh, that's great. Next up, Mod Raymond joined the couch to talk about the next Epic Jam project release, and that's Scalable Solak, coming on Monday. So the idea behind this is that seven players was a high benchmark for it. 3 to 4 is the sweet spot for group bosses based on polls that they took. And Solak will now scale just based on how many people you bring to it.
Okay.
We'll have a chat with David about that next week, I think. It'll be possible to work with the ninja team to improve other PVM creatures. Okay. Good to know. Ripper Demon pets are coming in on Monday.
Oh, I'll be right there for that one. Get it on day release.
You really like fighting Ripper Demons?
Oh, yeah, you just put that cannon down like what David was saying, right?
I guess
and
that's...
hold on, hope for the best.
I forgot about that. That's so funny to imagine.
You just slap that cannon down and spam barricade and deep defense buildings.
Okay. Defense animations are going to be removed from all bosses in game, and he said this is because this is what the other MMOs do out there when you're fighting one of their bosses, is that they don't flinch when you attack them, and it serves as a distraction when the focus should be on the mechanics that are being used, which is pretty good, I think. So that's very nice, and especially for me, because it's always hard for me to tell whether the flinch is part of the mechanic lead up or if it's just something the boss is doing on its own. So I quite like this, and I imagine it'll be good for you too in your new foray into bossing.
Yeah.
And they're going to be adding a examine to Telos, so you'll be able to see the enrage level that you're fighting at.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That boss is tough, Shane.
Yeah. Have you ever tried?
Very unfortunate. Funny you should ask. Yeah. And when we're wrapping up the RS news, I'll tell you all about it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, that's it for RS News this week. And as I mentioned, you're going to see a bit of the controversial stuff in the community. But summing that up, I think as long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it's an okay change to make if it makes the game better for a handful of people. So that's the important thing.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, it does no harm. And you know, think about it, like, for a lot of people, this game's an escape. And, you know, just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
It's real simple. But I have another piece of RS news, Shane.
Okay.
I got an update. I just want to give everyone an update on how everything went this weekend for Game Blast.
And Special Effect. What did we do?
Effect. Had a live stream on Saturday, and we were part of the United Communities of RuneScape team that had a goal of raising $5,000 over Game Blast weekend, and we had a modest goal that we smashed, brought in a grand total of $250 in donations, 6 subs, which is, that's $250 a piece. That's another like 20,
nice.
Bringing us to like $270. And all I had to do was drink a ketchup milk and milk smoothie. And that was hard, but, it was for Special Effect. So.
Ouch. But I mean, at the end of the day, there is nothing that is too much for charity, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh man, this is not going to go well. I have not ate today. All I have drank is an energy drink and a cup of coffee. Woo! Let's do it. Well, it was suggested when we were at like $60. So I was already happy. You know? I was already happy. I'm like, wow, this is great. And I'm like, sure, you know. And I didn't really think we'd get there. And
yeah.
Then all of a sudden, we were there. Yeah. And I was drinking milk and ketchup. So I just want to thank everybody that contributed. And, you know, keep that in mind, too. Like, when we have weeks like this, you know, and it, you may feel bad about, you know, where things are on, like, on Reddit or something, but this is also the same community that, you know, donated $270 just on my stream alone, and the group in total was around, I think it was like 6,100 when you added in the auction. So, smashed it.
Yeah, they're at 54.
They had 5,800.
5,479 British pounds right now.
Yeah. So,
that's a lot when you factor it into US dollars.
Yeah.
Also, the entire Game Blast organization, not just RuneScape, hit 140,000 pounds made over the entire weekend.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, because I think one of their goals was it was around 100.
It was 100
pounds. Yeah, and that runs the Stargaze that I talked about last week.
Yeah,
that program. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Amazing. Amazing. And you were a part of it and the wonderful community around it. So pat yourself on the back for that.
Oh, well, it was for Special Effect, but thank you, Shane.
Yes. All righty. Well, that's it for RS News. So we're going to move on to a couple of questions. But before we do that, I'll just take a moment to thank our Patreon supporters for this episode. This week, I'd like to thank 29, Let's Go, Brock H., Cameron, Cass, Christian S., Darren L., Diana, James W., and New Arrival, welcome, Jason S., Joe M., John P., Kyle, Our Memories, Rastafa, Ripeth, Sam W., The Naked Captain, Tom V., and Zez. Thank you, all of you, for your support here at RSBNB Update. It truly does mean the world to us in allowing us to do what we do here on the podcast. And in case you're wondering what this is all about, just head on over to patreon.com/RSBNB. And there you can find all the offerings for as little as a dollar a month. You get a special mention in the show notes and gain access to the entire back catalog of monthly bits. This month, coming out next week, we are going to be talking about Iron Man characters and where they fit in the 2020 game dynamic. Are they valued, undervalued? Why do people play them? The whole works. We're going to have a great discussion about Iron Man. For $3 a month, you can pick up a special VIP rank on our Discord. You get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month and get access to high-quality stereo AAC versions of the show. And at $5 a month, you receive a shout-out every week on the podcast, and you get exclusive access to the outtakes that we use for the clip show at the end of the year, in addition to everything else. And, you know, not every week has clips, but there are weeks that do have multiple clips, and that's, of course, why you're going to choose that one, because you can't wait to hear the clip show at the end of the year. And in addition to, of course, the monthly bit, we have, of course, Inside RSBNB Update, which we're going to be continuing to produce into next month as well. We have a good post out there about how we produce episodes of the show and why we were going to do a variety show, and then that was off. And we detailed all of that in the Inside RSBNB Update. We also had the roundtable that we did last Saturday on Double XP Weekend. Always fun to do them on Double XP Weekend, you know? So many more people around and a good time to rally the community for roundtable discussions. And we do those every month, but the Double XP Weekend ones are really special. And Patreon supporters can take part and in the discussion and then everybody else. If you weren't able to make it, you can either watch it after the fact or listen to it after the fact. And then we'll be unveiling how our newest option, Movie Night, is going to work in the first couple of weeks of March. So that should be a fun one too.
I'm ready. I
Me too.
Am ready. Are
Me
you
too.
Ready, Shane?
Yeah.
You feel it?
We've already been having some discussions about how it's going to be chosen. So there's a couple of options on the table. I'm not going to go into those right now, but we are talking about all of those. So. All right. Thank you, everyone, once again. Truly amazing to have your guys' support here. Patreon.com/RSBNB if you want to learn more about that and the monthly bit and Inside Update and the roundtable and now Movie Night. So we got two questions this week. First one is from the RR Man, and it's an audio question. He's a questioner from a long time ago, so let's hear what he has to say today.
Hey, it's the RR Man here. How's it going? So, I've just been listening to the most recent monthly bit. Another fantastic one, if I must say so myself. It's called Overcoming Negative Cycles in RuneScape. Great episode, very interesting, different perspectives, not the stuff we normally get on the normal show. And it was a very good listen. I just want to add one little point that I'd like to add, I guess. Anyway, just stop playing the game for a little bit, if the game's really getting you down. There's a lot of games out there that we can try, you know? I mean, you can always come back to RuneScape. You can never quit RuneScape. RuneScape quits you. That's true right there. So, to put a question on this, what are the games you guys have been playing this year? Any other than RuneScape? And what are they like? Give us a couple of tips, because, you know, there's always a down period. The best thing to do with RuneScape is when it's really getting you down, go play something else, because don't worry, you'll know you'll be back in a week or two. Peace out.
You know, this is a fun time where we could just go into pick of the week right now if we wanted to. But, you know, we're going to talk about these and plenty of options for them to come up again in the future for pick of the week. So is there any that you want to showcase off the bat?
I just want to say, yeah, facts. Just take a break. He's right. And if I need to take a break, and I'm glad we're going to get a little bit of a break between DXP and archaeology, I plan to play a little bit of No Man's Sky. It's been a new update. I played that mostly Elder Scrolls Online and Red Dead Redemption It's just the most awesome game I've played in several years. So those are my current ones, along with the dash of the retro gaming, because I gotta...
Yeah, you love that, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Any new ones?
New ones? Poker. Been playing some poker.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. And you and I were talking about that. I said, how can you do that online when you don't have the dynamic of being able to see people and know if they're bluffing you?
Yeah. Well, you do. You've got emotes.
Okay. So. I mean, I guess.
Yeah. But I think it's all about the bets, you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
As for me, you know, I think I used Minecraft as a pick of the week on the podcast a few weeks back, thinking about it. So, I mean, there's the occasional foray into that when I get the idea of something I want to create. There's that. And, you know, we go back a long time. That's an old game, but it's something that definitely works as pick of the week. And a good game that you can spice some time up with. But... you know, in addition to that, there's always the old-fashioned, you know, Star Trek Online and World of Tanks that throw a bit of spice into it, but they're not things that are grindy like RS is. And, you know, I bet there are people out there who want to see something that's a bit different than that for standard, right? Well, there's actually a game out there. It's called Deep Rock Galactic. And it's a survival game. It's not a zombie game, believe it or not. You're a dwarf underground, and you go on various mining expeditions, and you got to effectively kill all the little creeps and whatnot, and use that to mine stuff and complete your various mission objectives as you move through it. And it's co-op with up to 4 players on there. But it's not your traditional zombie game, but it does have that same survival aspect to it as well. So that's one that's out there. It's by an indie dev. It's Deep Rock Galactic. You can find it on Steam. There's that. And, you know, this is one that, you know, you can spend a couple of hours on just as a bit of a session. Each session that you, or each map that you play through runs around 20 minutes. So, you know, you do 3 of those in an hour. It's a nice little break. And there's one more, but it's more of a, I guess you could say, co-op kind of party game. I'm not going to really talk about it here because I want to save it for pick of the week, but it's absolutely hilarious. So I'll just leave that as a bit of a tease for you guys for the next time I do pick of the week. Tannis has pick of the week this week. But, you know, for me, I just thought I'd mention Deep Rock Galactic because I think that's something that people could get into if you like survival games. And... it's got the added benefit that it's a survival game that does not feature zombies and it does not feature gore. So if you don't like either of those things, it's a good option.
Right.
You ever heard
that
of it?
That's cool. I haven't. No, I've never heard of it.
I don't know if you would enjoy it because it's first-person shooter.
I mean, I can... function.
Okay.
You know, somewhat.
It's also very dark.
Not so good.
Okay.
Not so good.
There's
probably.
Also periods where it goes from dark to complete light.
Oh, yeah, that's absolute
torture. So, that's my one complaint about the game is that there's no way to effectively moderate the lighting levels because you are underground, so it's going to be pitch dark unless your team lights the area. And then lights do go out. So... there is that lighting change. So that is the one complaint about it, even for me. Because, you know, you go from light to dark, and my eyes really don't like that. So, but, you know, I can tell that we're creatures of habit here because we both said the games that we've been playing for years in this case, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I need to slow down with my gaming. Yeah, I just... there's always Jedi Fallen Order, right? That one's new. That's newish.
Is that the one with all the MTX in it?
oh no, this is like the one that showed them single player is still viable.
Okay. All right, this was a big one.
Yeah.
All right. Also, Deep Rock Galactic looks very nice, just watching the video here that they have on Steam. I didn't think it looked very nice when I first played it, but it's actually pretty good. So, all right. Thank you, Mr. Harder Man. Next up, from Sunset Fish with double XP, week almost over now. Do you have any tips on how not to get burnt out while playing RuneScape? Look at our last question. No, but
I mean, like,
I do have serious tips for that.
Well, like, is this specific to double XP weekend? Because
I took it as just in general.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, the best thing that we had to prevent burnout is a whole week to do it.
And like I mentioned earlier, I'm at 39 hours. I've been woodcutting. I've gained something like 2.7 million woodcutting XP with crystallized Acadia. I don't know if that's good. Somebody can tell me that. I spent about 2 hours doing proteins, so I spent 7 hours woodcutting so far.
A lot of woodcutting, Shane.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's good. That doesn't seem like a good rate, does it?
I'd probably do some bamboo as much as I could.
Yeah.
Anyway, until my supplies ran out.
Yeah. Or maybe it was 3 hours on the portables, because that doesn't seem the right rate for crystallized Acadia. It's probably closer to 3 hours on the protein, sorry, not portables, for invention. So five. Yeah, so about 6 hours woodcutting so far, I think.
When the hell are you not burnt out? Because that's a lot of woodcutting.
Yeah, and I'm starting to feel it. I'm going to be completely honest with you there on that. And I was actually thinking of spicing it up and going to my golden bamboo, because I have an island with two bamboo on it. And,
oh, well, yeah, dude.
And this answers the question, how do you not get burnt out? It's to add variety. Add variety to your training methods. Whether it be woodcutting, alternating between the Acadia and the Golden Bamboo. And that's something you'd probably want to do anyways, because Soul Runes are currently selling for around 1,800 GP each. And you need that for Crystallize.
I don't know about Souls, dude, but I've never seen so much runecrafting on Twitch before in my life. And my friend, well, you know him. You know Mage. 100 mil GP, man, just on Friday. Runecrafting. 100 mil. Want to take a guess on how?
Souls?
Nope. Astral with the Wicked Hood teleports. He was a machine, dude. Like, incredible. And, of course, you know, the power boost. Just, you know, the power boost of sorcery.
Yeah.
Just decked out to the max.
Yeah, it's good to see that's no longer torpedoed by some specific YouTuber out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked.
All right.
Wow.
But anyways, you know, in addition to that, I think just play the way you want to play. That's the number one thing I have to say about that, right? Don't feel compelled that you need to fit into some pigeonhole for double XP weekend. If you just want to play normally, go for it. 48 hours is a long time over 10 days. That's 4.8 hours a day, almost 5 hours a day. I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Anyone who plays that much time per day, but I'm sure there are people out there listening to this who do, but I personally don't know anyone who plays that much.
Noobs.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, Shane.
I know. Noob is a point of endearment around Clan Quest. Yeah,
that's true. It is. I forgot that it is an endearment there.
Yeah, and you know, I already have a list of things I want to do when double XP weekend is over, like finishing my camouflage outfit at Prif, like getting 100% respect at the Artisan's Workshop to get the cosmetic masterwork override.
if you're going to be at the workshop, you better be getting a Dwarven Instinct aura, man. It's good stuff.
I'd rather spend money on the bonds and pick it up. If I was
going to. That's fair. Yeah, fair enough.
Because I have the GP around. If I really wanted to,
well, you're rich because you grow the green.
That's right.
If you need the herb, you gotta see Shane.
Yes, but that's why I also do farming, because it allows me to be varied in the way I train, in terms of the way I control the farming runs, and when I go to the various ranch out of time in the player owned farm, it just adds a level of variety to it. So that's my number one tip, is to just add variety to your gameplay and not focus on one thing for too long. And if it's starting to feel like a burden, it is. You don't need to train that way. Go do something else or train it in a different method.
Yeah. Unless it's double XP weekend. And if you are training a viable, suck it up, Buttercup, because it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
You don't want to drag that out.
I think I might also...
You got to get the grind.
I might also take a break from the wood cutting and go do some rod-o-matic fishing at the fish whack-a-mole place and finish off invention, because I'm 300K from 118. So, and it's like around, I forget what the exact number is, to 120, but might as well finish that off too while we're here, right?
Yeah. I wonder if that could be made bigger or noticeable.
Wish.
I should run the whack-a-mole fishing. I ought to start running filters, see if I can make it easier.
Because that is kind of hard, because you just got to watch for the ripples on the surface, right?
It's impossible. Yeah. I've never had more than like a 3 or 4 string, and I think that was by accident, tell you the truth.
All right. Hopefully we answered that one to satisfaction of Sunset Fish. Thank you so much. And, you know, if you have any other further questions or follow-ups, or anybody has follow-ups to these, please do send them in. And you can do that by emailing questions@rsbnb.com or leaving us a DM on Twitter @rsbnb, or popping them into the forums at update.rsbnb.com/ask. All right, so we're going to wrap the show up here with tech news. And, you know, vulnerabilities, software and security vulnerabilities in 2020 always got to have a funny name associated with them. And we got a new one this week. You know what this one's called? It's called the Crook vulnerability.
Crook.
And you know what it does?
Steals?
Exactly. So the Crook vulnerability is able to, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Intercept and decrypt Wi-Fi network traffic.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Crook affects all Wi-Fi capable devices running on Broadcom and Cypress chips, which is practically anything under the sun that receives Wi-Fi. And this, of course, also affects devices like the Amazon Echo and Kindle, iPhones, iPads, MacBooks, the Google Nexus, the Samsung Galaxy, the Raspberry Pi 3, Xiaomi devices, as well as access points from Asus and Huawei, just to name a few. ESET, the antivirus people, this week released a press release talking that potentially more than 1 billion devices are going to be vulnerable to Crook. And they consider this a conservative estimate. And I'm not going to go too deep into how this works technically, but what happens with this is whenever you connect to a Wi-Fi network, you make an association with that network. But when you leave that network, when you walk away from it, or you go out of range, or you turn your Wi-Fi off, something happens called the disassociation, and these chips can have their Wi-Fi WPA2 access key reset to an all zero value during one of these disassociations. That's the bug. And with this all zero key, what happens with that is that pretty much anything any traffic coming to and from your device is going to be able to be decrypted and be able to be seen over the open network. So worst case, this would be like you just going out to, you know, say a Starbucks or something and using their open Wi-Fi. But you can actually fix this by using WPA3 or just running the software updates on all of the potential affected devices. And we, in this day and age, hear about these vulnerabilities once they have already been fixed. So Apple and Amazon and Samsung and all these organizations are going to provide their fixes for this. And this is exactly why you want to be able to ensure that you always run the software updates when they become available on your device, because they might look like they're nothing on top of it, but lo and behold, the ones that we've got most recently fix Crook. So, and just to give an idea of how you could potentially utilize this in a bad way, you can exploit it to break the security of the Wi-Fi connection first, but if your original communications were also encrypted through the HTTPS websites, which we talked about last week, or encrypted email or instant messaging, that would still be encrypted. But if you were just sending data over the internet like we used to with non-HTTPS connections, the attacker would be able to see that. And that's where this comes in. So it's not the end of the world, but it's still something that should be taken seriously by all system administrators out there and anybody who runs one of these affected devices, which is practically anything at this point. So moral of the story is to run your security updates.
Especially after Shane told everyone how to be better hackers.
Yeah, yeah. And on that note, I'm not advising this, but the white paper on this exploit is published if anybody wants to know how it works from a very technical perspective. I include that in the show notes as well. It's an 11-page paper. It's not overly technical, but it's probably more technical than most of our listeners want to read. So that's why it's just here as an option.
Okay.
Next up, Firefox is continuing their push in terms of bringing privacy to all of their users on the internet. Now, we always talk about who's winning the privacy race, whether Google, who says they're winning, or Firefox, as we talked about recently, or other browsers like the Brave web browser. But this week, Firefox began to roll out something called encrypted DNS over HTTPS for users in the United States. And boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? What exactly is DNS over HTTPS, you're probably wondering. Well,
yeah.
To put it in a simple form, when you go to a website like runescape.com, you got to do something called a DNS lookup, which looks up the IP address, the series of numbers that lead you to that web server. And you see https://runescape.com in your address bar with a little lock, and that means your actual communications between you and that website are encrypted. But most of the time, the DNS requests that look up where runescape.com is on the internet is not encrypted. So all of the DNS servers that you use at your ISP or wherever they might be are running unencrypted DNS, and they have a list of all of the websites that you're attempting to access. With DNS over HTTPS, it makes it so that all of the servers in between you and runescape.com cannot see who you're trying to look up. And this is the final plank in terms of making bulletproof web browsing, in terms of both securing the connection, that is the data that flows back and forth between you and the website that you're on, but also hiding from your ISP and hiding from other service providers out there what sites you're actually looking up. So this is a huge step for many people to be able to basically say, no, you're not knowing what websites I look up.
For the small price of having to use Firefox.
Yes. There's a but, though. Google plans to eventually bring DNS over HTTPS to their own DNS servers. So in theory, you could set that up and just use that on all of your devices and not have to worry about it and use whatever browser you want. But Firefox is bringing this forward through the Cloudflare internet provider that provides, you know, many other services out there, like caching, amongst other things, just to name a few. But if you use Firefox, you're going to have this. And it's an interesting way of making it so that you have bulletproof security. Just make sure that no one's going to be able to see what websites you're on. And I think that's what everybody wants. They want their connections to and from the websites to be secure, but they also don't want people to see what sites they're going to. So, all in all, I think this is a good thing. I have some reservations about Cloudflare, but that stems back to a exploit from back in 2017 that they had, where they had a major security problem. And they're, of course, an internet-facing company, so they have to take security seriously. So they should be okay, but I personally always have the question in the back of my head about Cloudflare. But I wouldn't worry about it. If you're using this in Firefox, you should be fine. So, Firefox pushing the envelope on browser security. You ever think of using Firefox?
No, I never have.
Okay, fair enough.
I've never.
All right. And our last piece of tech news, Microsoft has revealed the specifications for the new Xbox console coming this fall, the Xbox Series X. And it's going to have a 12 teraflop capable GPU. That's pretty powerful.
Pretty about it. Yeah.
This is about on par with the NVIDIA GTX 2080.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, and you're going to be able to purchase that for, you know, $400 US probably. When
you can't buy
a GPU for that price, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They're also going to have a custom AMD Zen 2 processor in their system as well. So once again, they're going to keep on the x86 bandwagon, but it's going to be 100% custom hardware. And with that, this 12 teraflops range puts it at twice of that of an Xbox One X and eight times as powerful
as the original
Xbox One. Yeah.
Serious? Wow. And the Xbox One X had pretty good, you know, stats.
Yeah, it can do 4K, like, wow. So this is double that.
Yes.
They're calling
it... that's like a miniature... gaming PC.
Right. Yeah, it is a gaming PC. And when this hits this fall, assuming the GPU vendors out there, AMD and NVIDIA, are still fighting it out and being used for crypto mining, the best way to play 4K 120 FPS games is going to be this console.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And, you know, when you think about it, that's probably the way we're heading. Unless you're an absolute diehard enthusiast PC gamer, which I know there are those of you listening to the podcast who are, if you want to play 4K, you just get an Xbox.
Yeah, and 4K really isn't, I mean, that's not that big of a deal to me, but I love my mods, you know, like.
Right.
And they're still not always friendly in the console realm.
Yeah, definitely that. And, you know, we also know that this is going to be backwards compatible with games that are already out there. So that's good as well with this.
It's about time.
Game Pass will have heavy role. So, and I mean, all of the Xbox One accessories will work with it. So you don't need to buy new ones.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is going to be the one to get. I passed on the One X, but this is probably going to be the one to upgrade the One from.
I'm wondering when they're going to get VR.
Well, these
with
would,
a console
these would,
like that, they could do it.
These would definitely be VR capable.
Yeah.
Other capabilities that were announced in the Series X include variable rate shading. So what you can imagine this as is that when you spend an entire GPU cycle to shade every single pixel on the screen for every frame, they can prioritize individual effects and individual areas that they want to dedicate this to and just keep the shading that was done for the previous iterations on them, making it faster and allowing areas to become more detailed. Results in more stable frame rates and higher resolution. There's also going to be SSD storage on this console. We knew about that. Faster loading times for the game. So this is, you know, the true next generation Xbox console that people have been waiting for. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And, you know, as I mentioned, this GPU will be on par with a 2080. And I don't know what prices are like in the US, but here you have to spend at least a grand plus if you want a 2080.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's before CPU and whatnot. So if I was to buy a 2080 today, yeah, it'd be $999 before mail-in rebate. And that's just the GPU. Then you got to factor in another $300 or $400 for CPU on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, you know, you're going to be able to get this in one box and one entire solution for half that, probably. So this is going to be a pretty good console when it arrives. And then, of course, you know, this is just the Xbox. This is just the Xbox version. There's also the PlayStations and whatnot, too. So all these things.
Yeah, I haven't heard the stats on the PS5 yet. No, I know they're out, but I haven't heard.
No, and you know, the reason I'm inclined to stay on Xbox is because that's where my profile is, and they're also getting the new Halo game, of course.
Well, you know. Of course.
Yeah.
Sony just kills it with the exclusives.
I hope
that changes someday.
Yeah, and you know, that's what it said. If you want to play the exclusive, it's Sony, but if you want anything else, it's the Xbox, pretty much, I think. Alrighty. Let's move on to our Double XP weekend. Wall of Achievements. Oh boy, hey. But I want to show something off before we do that. You know, Double XP weekend is a time where people spend a lot of time training in-game. And just to give an idea of the sheer magnitude of some of the stuff our community has got up to for this, if you look at the overall amount of XP gained in our community through what would be today, February 26th, the Lion has gained 89 million XP, Thaxi 84.2, Zweek 73.6, Lusha 53.6, and Vodka B 49.5 mil. And that's overall. Do you have any skills you'd like me to check before we go into our achievements?
No, I mean, I'm good. I'm working then. I'm about 36 and a half.
So. All right. Farming, highest is Warrock with 11.2. And
dude,
yours?
I had to eat my farming words. Like, those mushrooms ended up being
you
really
got 31.8. Told you. You're at 31.8 as of yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a big day today.
Yeah. I told you those mushrooms are great.
Yeah, I didn't believe it. I was like, why would you do that over something with higher XP? But that was another one Mage did. And was making money with 30 mil an hour, making money, or 10 mil an hour, but he was making money. I'm like,
with the mushrooms?
Me. Yeah.
Yeah, because people want the mushrooms for their zygomites. Yeah. Or was he doing the one that gave flies?
The one with the sundry potion, you know.
Use the sundry for both of them.
Yeah, he had bought his stuff before this. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go into the achievements because we're going to be here for a while. So I'm going to start us off on February 25th, where Black Mexican got 99 smithing and construction. Elven Badass got 99 construction. Lorisaurus with 99 magic. Lord Dusty with 120 herb lore. Madhouse C with 99 magic. Mythica UK with 99 farming and fletching. Peachy Reborn with 99 construction. Shamrock Sage with 99 smithing. Utan has got 120 strength. Yahoo with 99 crafting. Now on to the 24th, Black Mexican, 99 fletching. Delta with 99 agility. Derper New with 120 slayer. Lavaris with 99 ranged. Lusha with 99 summoning. Love Natural with 99 agility. Peachy Reborn with 99 fletching. R3PO with 99 crafting. Now on to the 23rd. One Rib with 99 runecrafting. Acronia with 99 smithing and firemaking. Black Mexican again with 99 farming and cooking. Derpenu with 120 defense. Dr. Bruce with 99 agility. Hemsky with 99 smithing. Lorisaurus with 99 thieving. Lavaris with 99 fletching. Lord Gimli with 99 smithing. Then we have Lusha with 99 attack, No Sanity with 99 attack and 99 hunter. Omega got 120 divination, crafting, fletching, herb lore, and thieving. SW Martin got 99 fishing and fletching, also on the 23rd. Utanis got 120 summoning again on the 23rd. You're just in here both times, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thaxi with 120 herb lore, and Yahoo also rounding out the 23rd with 99 hunter. Good job, everyone.
Nice, nice. Take a breath, Shane. Breathe. So, but wait, there's more. So these are all on the 22nd of February. So we have Eric's with 99 smithing. Biggie Sweats with 99 summoning and 99 slayer. We have Black Mexican with 99 crafting. We have Canard with 120 herb lore. Delta 99 with 99 crafting. Oh, Delta with 99 crafting. That's funny. Fee Super T.
I say Super Jet, but whatever.
Super Jet. Sometimes I lose the last letter on these. I don't know why. With 99 divination. Lorisaurus with 99 runecrafting. Lorisaurus with 99 hunter. Lusha with 99 strength. Love Natural with 99 crafting. We have Malchior. Malchior, something like that. 99 summoning, Minority, 120 invention. Then we have R3PO with 99 fletching. We have Taffing Spy with 99 fire making. We have Yitzi with 99 agility. And Yitzi with 99 strength. And then for the 21st of February, we have Acronia with 99 cooking. Always snub. Always noob. Yeah, always noob with 99 herb lore. Black Mexican with 99 summoning. Black Mexican with 99 invention. Lorisaurus with 99 construction. Lord Gimli with 99 summoning. Mood Dragon X with 99 attack and 99 strength and 99 ranged. And Moondragon X again with 99 woodcutting. Then we have Smarm.
S.W. Martin, let's just say.
Ah, there we go. S.W. Martin. Like, how do you know when their initials or when they're
words? I have no idea. Okay. I say, you know, I make up names on the spot sometimes if it's hard to pronounce, and I figure if we get it wrong, someone will correct me
if it's
a bit of a spelling error.
Right. Okay, two more. Yitzi with 99 attack on the 21st, and Lorisaurus with 99 divination on the 20th. Very awesome, good job, everybody.
That wasn't too bad.
No, but we'll have this again next week. It's extended, remember, Shane?
Right, right. For some reason, I thought we wouldn't be talking about this next week, but of course we will.
Yes.
Of course we will. All righty. Good job, everybody, and amazing work on all of the achievements and all of the XP gained. Very nice. And last double XP weekend before archaeology. Time to get all those T's crossed and I's dotted, and away we go to uncover all those dig sites. All right. What do you got for pick of the week?
So this week I have a little show called Hot One. Have you ever heard of it, Shane?
No.
It's a cool show. It's on YouTube. And basically what they do is they'll interview different celebrities, and as they ask questions, they eat hot wings. And the wings get hotter and hotter and hotter. And the questions do too. So the host, his name is Sean Evans. The latest episode was with Will Ferrell, so if you're a Will Ferrell fan, it's fun. And they've had,
or if you don't like him, you can watch him every suffer. Time I hear something.
you definitely can watch him suffer, because he it hurts. definitely hurts. So, but yeah, I love Hot Ones. Like, there's so many great episodes. Gordon Ramsay, oh, that one's great. That was good. Shaq is another great one. But yeah, I'm a Will Ferrell fan, so this was fun. He was on there talking about his new movie with Julia
Downhill.
Dreyfus. Yeah, Downhill.
Downhill. Okay. Yeah. I don't want to say anything, but you know, this sounds kind of like what they tried to make you do on the live stream, the ketchup and milk thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think I would do significantly worse with hot wings.
Oh, I could handle hot. I can absolutely handle hot.
I would try it because I think it would be fun, but I would definitely cry. And
right.
Yeah, it would be
like if I ever.
But you can order these.
Yeah, like so. I mean, if I ever go to a restaurant, and there's a scale of hot, I start right in the middle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because some places I can go all the way up to the top, but I figure let's just start in the middle in case it's really hot and then take it up from there. Most places I can do the second hottest one and not have any ill side effects. But yeah, I absolutely love hot stuff. I don't think this would be a... Oh, I mean, at least for probably maybe the first 75% of it would be no big deal for me, I don't think.
See, I would probably be in trouble with the first, but that's okay. I mean, I grew up on mashed potatoes and where salt was a spice, you know, like that's how bland the tastes are. But
yeah, some of my favorite food is the most spicy stuff, you know.
Ooh, so. Okay.
I love spicy. Like if I'm having salsa and chips, it's got to be hot salsa.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying, but this looks it looks painful for you probably, but I hope that it's like a delicacy for me.
Well, you never know.
You never know. You never know. Unless, you know, you take it to 11, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they do on the last dab. On the last wing, they have a tradition where you dab the hot sauce on the already hot wing, you know, that's been sauced.
Yeah.
That's called the last dab. You really got to go into it there.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch some of these. But anyways, I've included a link to the Will Ferrell one in the show notes at update.rsvmb.com. And then, of course, you can go to the First Week Feast channel and find the Hot Ones playlist there. So, all right. Good pick of the week. Good pick of the
week.
Thank you. And there's 223 of them, for anyone wondering.
Yeah.
I'm going to link the playlist, actually. Zoe Kravitz, Sean Evans, John Boyega, Kirsten Stewart, Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, you had some, you know, Bill Burr, Machine Gun Kelly.
You know who I'd like to see on here?
Who's that?
Barack Obama.
Sure, why not?
I mean, why not?
No. You know who I want to see on there? Hillary Clinton, because you know she carries her hot sauce around with her in her purse.
No, how about we put Trump on there after he's finished?
I don't know, man. You can't. Chicken he eats comes out of a bucket.
But he puts ketchup on his steak.
He does. Well, have you ever tried a Trump steak? It's pretty damn tough. You might as well put some ketchup on it.
And he eats it well done, too.
See, there's something wrong with you, man. There's got to be something wrong with you.
I don't know. I mean, I'd be interested to know a poll of our listeners. How do you eat your steak? Well done, medium well, rare, what?
The only acceptable answers are medium and, like, rare.
Okay.
Medium rare. I know some people, I don't do that, but.
I mean, medium well.
Really?
Because I don't like it to be cold.
Well, but you can never, they never get that right, dude. They never get medium well right.
You're right.
That's why
it comes out as well most of the time.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Anyways, boy, that means it's
I never get my steak done right, Shane.
That's right. All right, let's move on to what have we been doing since we're obviously done with that.
Well, looks like a little bit of summoning, right?
Yeah.
A little bit of strength.
Yeah.
And also did a little bit of herb lore,
okay.
But that's so expensive that we just did enough to for some PVM, you know, like probably about 3K potions. So
yeah,
not enough
that's
to really
stock.
Train, but, you know, enough to get me through the next 6 months, probably, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. As for me, woodcutting and protein invention.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to go do some fishing for the invention side, I think. And, you know, I was also given inspiration by Thieves to maybe find a different Ark Island, because my current Ark Island has two golden bamboo on it, and he's got one with a third. That'd be nice if I could find one with a third. That would just increase the amount you could do per day during double XP weekend.
No, that's for sure.
I should track my XP per hour on that. I feel like I'm not doing something right with the crystallized stuff. Or maybe I don't know, but... That's something I'm going to do after we're done here, because, like I said, I still got 39 hours left to go, and that's a long time in the amount of time that's left, right? So,
yeah, it's quite a bit.
But yeah, probably try and see if I can finish invention off, because, I mean, why not, right? Because you get double item XP. Don't forget that.
Yeah, for sure.
I also did author an Informer article that could potentially be seen at the end of as the end of Prestige, our Prestige campaign. Yeah,
You'll have to convince me because I'm still I'm still on the prestige.
Well, it's called Long Live the Endgame of RuneScape, and I make some compelling arguments, I think, as to why endgame can't be prestige and why having prestige around in-game would be a bad thing from the community perspective for new players. So you can give that a read at informer.rsbnb.com. It's called Long Live the Endgame of RuneScape. It was an interesting evolution of thought, I think, for me. Moving from the point of championing prestige to the point of getting it on that survey to consistently bringing it up to having some discussions around the end game and what power creep is with the PVM hub and the max guild changes we talked about. And then learning last weekend that Rune Metrics actually counts XP past 200 mil. So it was an interesting discussion, and I'd be interested to hear what you guys think of my thought process. So I'll put a link.
Well, that's only for you, right? Like,
yeah.
You can't see that for anyone else.
Right. And I mean, if we can bring people around to that, and I think in doing so, I've kind of exposed from the dev side why they didn't want to do this. Now that I see the Rune Metrics thing and I see all these potential different downsides, why it was just something that wasn't championed over time. It kind of makes sense after seeing all that, but it's all in the article at informer.rsbnb.com. We got another weekend of double XP incoming, so hopefully you guys enjoy that and get ready for the new updates that are arriving on Monday. So with that being said, we'll be back next weekend for another episode of RSBNB Update. Take care, everyone.
See ya.